So in honor of the Dathyomi and the Sugyas, I thought I would talk a little bit about the topic of Kavod HaBrios and the related themes. So the Gemara in a few places throughout Shas tells us that there is a notion of Gadol Kavod HaBrios, Shedocha Lo Sase Shebetara, that Kavod HaBrios, human dignity, is such a powerful force that it is able to override even Torah prohibitions. And then the Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not true, because we have a principle that Ein Eitzah, Ein Chachmah, Ein Tfuna, Neged Hashem, the Pasuk in Mishle, that there is no such thing as Kavod, or honor, or counsel, or wisdom, or any other such value when it's in opposition to God. And therefore, the principle is, B'makom Chil Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. If the situation of Chil Hashem, we don't show Kavod to anybody. So what do you mean to say that there is a principle that Kavod HaBrios can be Docha Losa Seisha B'Torah? So then the Gemara explains that we're talking about a specific losase, and that is the losase of losaser, the prohibition to violate dinim derabanan, to rebel against chazal. It's only dinim derabanan that will yield to Kavod HaBrios, but not dinim in HaTorah. But then the Gemara goes on to say, actually, that there are situations where even dinim in HaTorah maybe we'll step aside for Kavod HaBrios, and that would include a situation of Sheva Al Tasa, if it's a matter of passive Torah law, so then we would yield to Kavod HaBrios. And the Gemara gives another example, Davar Sheba Mamon, and that's actually what's specifically relevant to the Daf Yomi, to the second parak of Bav Metzia, that situations of Hashav V'Saveda, if it is a Zaken, Einel Fichvodo, if you have a distinguished individual who, returning the lost property, which somehow compromises Kavod, so then he is exempt from doing so. Then he's not obligated to return the lost property. So that idea that we have this notion of Kavod HaBrios overwhelming these three areas is a fascinating one. And there are additional categories that are the topic of dispute. So in addition to these three categories from the Gemara, Dinim Derabanan and Sheva Al Tasa and Davar Sheba Mamon, there are at least three categories where there is a machlokes. One is the question of what if it's a situation of shogeg? Because the Gemara gives the example of a situation where Kavod HaBrios does not win. That's a situation where it's a Isser Min HaTorah Bekum Va'aseh. And the specific example the Gemara gives is a situation of somebody who is in the public place and he discovers that he is wearing shatnas. So Hamosi Kiloyim Bebigdo, so Chayiv Leposhto, Afilu Beshuk, he has to take it off even if he's in a public place, because that's a situation of Chil Hashem. So the question is, what if he finds that his friend is wearing shatnas? And the implication being that his friend may not be aware that he's wearing shatnas, so he's a shogeg. So that's the subject of machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush as to whether that's an exception. Is there a situation there of shogeg that would allow Kavod HaBrios to prevail into those circumstances? So that was a ongoing machlokes, and that affected a number of issues and was debated throughout the generations. The Shagas Aryeh has an extensive discussion about this. It comes up in many different cases. There is a often quoted tshuva of the No de Yehuda in Aruch Chaim and Siman Lamed Hei, where he talks about a situation where there was a man who had a affair, and he wanted to know if he's done tshuva, but the question was, does he have to inform the husband of this person, who was actually his father-in-law, and it was a distinguished family, so if they're going to have to get divorced, it's going to be a big embarrassment. And the question is that necessary? Because maybe you should say that right now the father-in-law doesn't know, the husband doesn't know, so therefore it's a shogeg situation. And because it's going to be embarrassing, so can you say that kavod avriyos should prevail b'shogeg? So the Nod Behuda goes through various angles of this. He comes out l'chumra for a side reason, but there are others who considered this question also and did come out Lakula, among them the Divrei Chaim. So this was a major issue, and the question of whether there should be an exception for a shogeg is a matter that was debated both among the Rishonim and among the Achronim. In addition, another question that was a topic of debate is, should there be another category that is a din min ha-Torah b'kum va'aseh, but may still be a situation where kavod habrios may prevail? Rashi discusses that there is a example in the Gemara that seems to be a situation where kavod habrios wins, but doesn't fit any of the rules. And that is the situation of a kohen or a nazir, who is supposed to be a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir, is supposed to be metame for a Meis Mitzvah. And there, you have a Isser Daraisa, and it's Bekom Vaseh. It doesn't seem to fit any of the rules. So how exactly does that work? So Rashi explains that this is an exception because it's built into the Isser. Built into the Isser of Tumas Kohenim, or Tumas Nazir, is the exception for Meis Mitzvah. But Tosfos understands differently. And Tosfos understands that essentially there's a new principle here, that if you have a weakened Isser, so kavod habrios is able to prevail in that circumstance. So why is this a weakened Isser? So in the case of Tumas Kohenim, it's a lav she'enu shava l'kol. It's a prohibition that doesn't apply to everyone, and the Gemara invokes that as a category that is considered to be of a lesser power. So therefore, for that reason, kavod habrios can win. And when it comes to Nazir, that's not the case. Nazir does apply to everyone, even though you may not know so many Nazirim, but nonetheless, Naziris does apply to everyone, men and women alike, because should you decide to commit to Naziris, so then the halachos of Naziris would apply to you. So that means that, in theory, the laws of Naziris apply to everyone. So that we wouldn't call lav she'en shav v'lakol. But it's a weaker Isser for another reason, because it's Efshir B'She'ela. A person can go to a Bezdin and have the Bezdin cancel out the concept of Naziris. So if a person is very regretful that he's not allowed to eat Basar B'Chalav, so he can't go to a Bezdin and have that canceled out. So that's a fundamental difference. The idea that it's Efshir B'She'ela marks that as a weaker prohibition, and therefore it has a different kind of status. So this is a chiddush of Tosfos, which Rashi apparently doesn't agree with, that there is a category here that if the Isurim are weaker, then kavod habrios can prevail over that also. And there's a third disputed category. The Divrei Chaim discusses, he uses the model of Dinim Drabanan, and he asks, how is it that Dinim Drabanan are able to step aside for kavod habrios if Isurim Daraisa are not going to do that? So Dinim Drabanan are all connected, as the Gemara indicated, to the prohibition of Lo Sasser. So doesn't that mean that fundamentally they're connected to Torah law? So he essentially suggests another category here, that if there is something which maybe comes from Torah authority, but is not spelled out in Chumash, so you can't open up the Chumash anywhere and point to a pasuk and say, look, you're violating this, so then kavod habrios would win there also, even though it does still fundamentally come from the power of the Chumash. So that would create another category. Some Sfarim point out that that also seems to be the position of the Rambam, because the Rambam has a psak that even though the view of the Rambam is that Avelus Yom Rishon is a Dimana Torah, nonetheless, he writes that if somebody is in the middle of shaving and he's halfway finished and then he hears Shemes Lomes, so he's able to still finish, because to stop halfway through is such a bizayin, is such a violation of Kavod HaBrios, that he's able to keep on going. So how do you explain that? So the suggestion is that perhaps the point is that this, even though you could say that Avelus Yom Rishon is Minat Torah, but the details of Avelus are not spelled out in Chumash, so maybe it's the same kind of category that I think the Sefer Limud Hashem has this point, that it's not considered to be expelled out in the Torah, and therefore maybe the Rambam also holds this way, that Kavod HaBrios could prevail over even a Din Minat Torah, even a Nisa Minat Torah, if it's not spelled out in those details in the Chumash itself. So how could we relate to the controversial categories, and how could we relate to the whole concept Bechlal, the idea that Kavod HaBrios is able to have this power to override Dinim Drabanan, Dinim Minat Torah, the different circumstances? So how exactly does that work? So we could possibly posit two different ways, and that may impact on how we understand the controversial cases. So on the one hand, we could say that there is essentially a values clash here, that Kavod HaBrios is a din. How do we know it's a din? So the Chazal actually derive it from, the Medrash points out, it's derived from the din of Meis Mitzvah, the fact that there is a kvura that happens for somebody who doesn't have anyone else to take care of. So that shows that there is a priority given to human dignity. So if that's the case, so there is a halacha of Kavod HaBrios, and there are other dinim, and if they come into conflict, so then we have to figure out which one is the greater value. And that's how the system works. So perhaps there's a scale of 1 to 10, and maybe Kavod HaBrios is a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. Gadol Kavod HaBrios, it's high up on the scale. And it beats a lot of things. But the one thing it's not going to beat is Chil Hashem, Elosa Se Minat Torah. So maybe that's a 10. So Kavod HaBrios is not going to override that. But it'll override a lot of other things. So it didn't derabanan is like a 6. And maybe then also you could understand that Shev Al Tasa is not a 9, is not a 10, it's also like a 7. And Dinim Davar Shebamamon is similar in its categorization. So if that's the case, so then how would we look at our controversial categories? So it could be that a Shogeg would also be considered lower down on the scale, and that maybe the position that Kavod HaBrios is doche a Yisra Daraisa B'Shogeg, the position of the Rush, maybe that's more easily understood, that that pushes it down on the ranking. When it comes to the second machlokas, the question of weaker Yisurim, so maybe that would also have a similar calculation, that if a prohibition is somehow moved down on the scale because it's a lav sheino shava l'kol, or it's efshir b'sheila, so then that also moves it from a 10 to a 6 or a 5 or whatever. So then maybe Kavod HaBrios, again, can be doche that. But what about the third category? So the third category of something which is from the Torah but is not spelled out in Chumash, so that presumably has the same chumrah as all the other dinim in the Torah, and then maybe we would take the side that Kavod HaBrios should not override that principle. So that's one way of looking at this whole story. But another way which may lead to the opposite conclusion in all of these questions, is to understand things differently. And this could build on a Rashi in Masechet Shabbos that talks about the idea specifically of why it is that Dinim Drabanan would step aside for Kavod Abrios. And Rashi suggests that this is based on the principle of Mechila, that even though we are obligated to show Kavod to Chazal, but Chazal were Mochel on their Kavod, if it means that a Jew is going to have to be Mavaz himself, if it means it's going to compromise the Kavod Abrios of people, so then the Chazal are Mochel on their Kavod, and they allow their din to be violated. So the Chasam Sofer has a similar application when it comes to the din of Hashavas Aveda, that even though the Baal HaMamun has the right to get his property back, but we can assume with confidence that nobody would want to get their property returned to them if it means that somebody else is going to have to be mevazeh themselves, is going to have to humiliate themselves in order to do it. So therefore, we can assume that there's mechila in place there as well in terms of the process of Hashavas Aveda, and that's what allows Kavod Abrios to prevail in that case. But if we follow this kind of logic, so then it's going to come out that even a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself is mochel because of Kavod Abrios. And that seems like a hard explanation. That would tell us that the reason that there are dinim in Torah, such as Shev Al Tasa in the Gemara, where Kavod Abrios can prevail, then it sounds like a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself is being mochel. So how could we understand that, especially if we take the position that the reason there is Kavod Abrios in the first place is because humanity is created in B'Tzelem Elokim, and therefore we have to show Kavod Abrios to reflect the fact that we recognize that the B'Tzelem Elokim is there, and the respect that's shown to a human being is a way of showing respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then that makes sense in general. So in the normal circumstances, we would want to show kavod to people. But if we have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, to show kavod directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would think we would want to cut out the middleman. Why would we give up an opportunity to show kavod directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when that's available, and we'd pass up that opportunity and instead show kavod to his creations? That seems like an inefficient plan. And just to highlight the question all the more so, Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Bala quotes from the Medrash that God arranged that the donkey that outsmarts Bilam isn't around anymore, even though you would think it would be a big Kiddush Hashem for that donkey to be around, but it was considered a bizayon to Bilam. So because of the covenant of Bilam, God got rid of it. And you would think that here too, that's a surprising decision. And the Medrash says that you see how great is the kavod of people, that here Kaddish Baruch Hu is concerned so much for the kavod even of a Rasha. Kavachomer, how much do we have to worry about the kavod of normal people? But it's very surprising again, because here this was an opportunity to show kavod directly to God, it'd be a Kiddush Hashem, through pointing to this miracle, and we pass up on that to protect the kavod of an evildoer, so that seems like a surprising choice. So perhaps we can explain this by pointing to a yesod in kavod. Some of the Bali Musar point out that there is an inherent paradox in Bali Gaiva, that the idea that somebody who thinks very highly of himself is always seeking out the honor that he would get from others, even though he doesn't really respect those people. So their compliments shouldn't really be meaningful. But he's chasing after them anyway, And essentially that means that he has to pretend that he respects other people long enough that he can take their compliments. But he doesn't really respect them, so their compliments shouldn't mean anything. So perhaps that's what it means when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu mechubad ha-mechabed es abrios. So who is it who is honorable? He who honors others. And the point is perhaps not simply reciprocity, but that the only way a person can be honorable is if he first shows honor to other people. Then there is the potential for him to recognize that that other person is honorable and can show him some meaningful honor. But if you don't believe that other people are honorable, so then there's nowhere for you to receive honor from, and it's all hopeless. So perhaps that's the idea, that you see that kavod as a whole is built on mechila, is built on the recognition of the kavod of the one below you, and because that individual has kavod, so then it's possible for the kavod to then be sent back upstairs. But if there's no kavod at the foundation, so then there isn't anything that can ultimately go to the highest source of kavod. So it does actually make sense that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will be mochel on his kavod, because it's necessary for human beings to be b'chavodik in order for there to be a foundation of kavod that is all going to travel back up to Shamayim. So this idea that kavod is built on mechila, so that perhaps can explain some principles here also. And using that to try to address the three disputed areas, so then the idea seems to be that kavod abrios is going to apply whenever there is the possibility of mechila, but if there is a overt chil Hashem, so then that's when kavod abrios can't win. So situation of shogeg or of weaker isurim, that still involves a public avera, so it seems that kavod abrios should not win in that circumstance. But a situation of an isur that's not explicit in chumash, so then that seems to reduce the chil Hashem component, and perhaps it's possible to say, like the Devar Chaim, that maybe kavod abrios should win. So perhaps that's a framework with which to understand all of these ideas of kavod abrios. And there are a few other questions that come up that could also be tali on this, just to mention one or two points. So there is a discussion, there's a Tosfos in the Rishonim in Maseches Shavuos that discussed the question that the Gemara there talks about the obligation to provide edus in Beis Din, if you can make a difference, and that even a Talmud Chacham who's greater than the Beis Din that's involved has to show up in front of the Beis Din in order to give testimony if it'll help. So the Rishonim ask, so why should that be necessary? That if he's greater than them and he has to lower his kavod in order to appear in front of his Beis Din, so you would think that if he just stayed home, so that's Sheval Tase. And here it's a situation of kavod abrios. He has to violate his own kavod to appear in front of this lower court. So why doesn't he just say Sheval Tase? Why doesn't he just stay home? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is that maybe it's a situation really of kum va'aseh, because maybe it's a circumstance where there is some matter that needs to be cleared up of a halachic question, and if it's not going to be cleared up, so somebody else is going to end up doing an avera b'kum va'aseh. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that maybe not every kavod abrios is equal. That we say that gadol kavod abrios, and kavod abrios is a 9 out of 10, maybe that's if it's a real humiliation. But here, this is not a gnai gadol. This is not a humongous humiliation. It's just a breach of protocol. Okay, so for a greater dayan, a greater Talmud Chacham to appear in front of a lower Beis Din, so that's not the most dignified thing. It's not the most b'chavadik thing, but it's not a humiliation. It's just not protocol. So it could be that that's not a situation where kavara brios is going to be a justification not to do it. So it seems like these two answers correlate to the two different approaches that we have here. That the first idea, that somebody else is going to do an avera unless it's cleared up. So it's saying that basically this is a situation of kumvase, it's the situation of chil Hashem deraisa, and kavara brios can't prevail over that, even if it's not the avera being done by the person who's looking to exempt himself. Maybe that doesn't matter. The point is that it's a situation of chil Hashem, and therefore we have to act to prevent the chil Hashem, even if it means compromising on people's kavod. While the second answer, about the distinction between Gnai Gadol and Gnai Katan, is addressing the other aspect, that maybe it's a values clash, like we said before, that Kavod Abrios is a 9 out of 10, and therefore is able to defeat many things. But maybe that's if we're talking about a situation of real humiliation. So then that's when it's a 9 out of 10. But if it's a lower level kind of issue, like the Dayan showing up in front of a lower Beis Din, so that's not humiliating, that's just a breach of protocol. And so that's a Gnai, but it's a Gnai Katan, that's not on the same level. And then the whole statement of Gadol Kavod Abrios perhaps wouldn't necessarily play out in the same way. And maybe in that situation, the Kavod Abrios would not override whatever Isser that we're talking about, and it wouldn't necessarily be the same dynamic. So perhaps those are some of the principles. There's more to say, but maybe those are some of the principles related to this idea of Gadol Kavod Abrios. And of course, the applications are very complicated. It's hard to know exactly when to use this. We have a few examples from the Gemara. Certainly, nowadays, it's hard to create new categories. Certainly, to nullify actual halachas in their totality and to say that that's a violation of dignity is not what we have a tradition indicating. We're talking about circumstances that come up occasionally, but within that, we do have this big yesod that Gadol Kavod Abrios, and we have a careful tradition of how poskim have applied this and what exactly its nature is, a very important, crucial concept in terms of guiding halachic principles. Okay, so we will stop there. And I wish everyone a good Shabbos.
I have a question.